Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of The Female Solution. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined shortly by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American 360 family. And we want you to join us, too, because today is a group effort. Several years ago, we drafted a piece of legislation, and we promised to present it to the government, to elected officials, to create as a law. And now we're ready. We've made connections to a lobbyist who will assist us in the process of making this idea into a law that can transform the way we handle those who have gone through the criminal justice system. And this is a groundbreaking move because we know that there are so many people who have gone through the criminal justice system and are suffering as a result of being inflicted with more pain, even though the reason why they ended up in the criminal justice system is because they were in pain. Those wounded and damaged souls who harm other people need help. So instead of us choosing to cause them more pain, what we really need to offer them is healing. We need to offer them services that will correct the problem that caused them to end up imprisoned in the first place. And that means handling their emotional issues with counseling, their health and drug addiction issues with some physical assistance with detoxing, as well as the counseling that led to their addictions, which may have been the motivation for their crimes. We also need to handle the issues of their lack of education and skills, which perhaps made their means of income something that was illegal and harmful and hurtful to the society. We need to offer spiritual help, those who need to repair their souls, who may have been abused, abandoned, misused. And of course, we need to be more fair when it comes to really determining who is actually belonging in an institution that we call corrections, when they may have in fact just been railroaded into serving time because they didn't have the money for decent legal representation. There are a lot of things that need to be addressed. And today, we want to go over all of those issues and prepare ourselves to present a solution which may be radical for some, but actually is the spiritually correct solution when we have members of our society that have been damaged and are damaging others. It's important for us to understand why people commit crimes. And if we have a clearer understanding that people don't come into this world bad, but bad things happen to them to misshape them, to damage them, to steer them in the wrong direction, then rather than us committing further wrongs on them and not making them better people, only making them bitter people, when we can change how we handle those among us who are misguided, then we can actually repair the problem and not have to all live in fear of those who are obviously misguided. So we're going to come back with our co-host Kareem Hamid and with words that we have put together for this piece of legislation and refine it so that we can make it a part of upcoming laws that will be discussed in the houses of government and considered and passed so that we can begin the transformative process that needs to happen among those who are going through the trauma and the drama of the criminal justice system. And we invite you to join us on the Female Solution Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this brief message, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605.
Press 1 to speak to the host and be a
As-salamu alaykum, Naima.
Wa alaykum salam. And we are back with our co-host,
Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we're live with our Facebook family. And we invite all of you to call in and join us, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've got a topic that we want all of you to be a part of. And as I was explaining to our listening audience at the top of the show, a few years ago, we created a piece of legislation. We drafted it together, which was designed to transform the prison system into healing centers, because we understand that people who are there are deeply wounded, and simply punishing them for a crime is not going to repair the damage in them, nor is it going to make them come out better people. They come out bitter people and even more dangerous, because they've been among those who are even more dangerous. And this isn't helping our society. Solution has to be from the spiritual perspective, that every soul has the potential to be its best expression. But we're all right now expressing the impact of whatever we've had happen to us during this earth experience, whether it be neglect, abuse, deprivation, and all of the things that make a person not see themselves as part of the human family and therefore willing to cause harm to others. So that has to be repaired inside of them. And it takes a lot of efforts that involve compassion. And that means getting people the counseling they need, the help with detoxing from drugs that they need, the therapy that they need, the spiritual counseling that they need, the education and skills training that they need, and all of the things that can help repair them and prepare them to re-enter the society as better beings and not bitter beings from having been beaten and cursed and confined to a cage for any number of years that does not make a person come out better. So this is revolutionary in the sense it's a different way of seeing our brothers and sisters who have caused harm. We have to be able to see them from a higher spiritual perspective in order to fix the problem and not just keep profiting from people who are in pain. So we had an opportunity on Monday to travel to the inauguration of our state elected officials. And of course, we know the prior few days before that, we had the swearing in of our congressional elected officials. So we have people who are now ready to begin the process of lawmaking and law creation for the betterment of our society. And we had the opportunity to make contact with a lobbyist who's part of a lobbying group, and they're ready and prepared for us to present our draft of legislation that they can present to the General Assembly and work on getting it passed, going through all the stages. So I said, well, you know, let's do it. So now we're going to take that document that we crafted a couple of years ago and discuss it, refine it, and prepare for the argument that it's going to take to get it passed into law. And that's what this show is dedicated to doing today. So we want you all to call in, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and press 1 when you're ready to join the conversation, because we're talking about legislation to transform prisons into healing centers. And that means understanding that the people who are there are sick emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and they need healing. So are we ready to address this human problem with a more humane solution that actually works? Well, we'll talk about that today, and of course, we're looking forward to hearing your perspective, and we'll go point by point of the piece that we've drafted and get input and understanding as to why this approach is necessary. So there you have it, Brother Kareem Hamid.
Yes, this is so sorely needed, praise be to Allah. They call incarceration, they call it Department of Correction. Department of Correction. Well, correction indicates that something has gone awry. Something has been broken. Something needs
right.
to be repaired. It seems as though punishment seems to have replaced the idea of correction. We are going to punish you by removing you from the society so many years or whatever length of time that they give you. But where does the correction start? When does the correction start? Is the correction in the number of years that you are punished for a crime that you may have committed? To even call it the Department of Correction, it means that something has been broken. Something has gone awry. That no child come here a criminal. There are dynamics in the society that shape and form our thinking and our behavior. There is something lacking in the social order that will lead a human being into crime or whatever offense they have been charged with. There needs to be, they have a captive audience. The prisoners are a captive audience. And I would suggest if I was conducting a correction forum, a correction seminar or forum, I would first begin where it begins, that you were not born. You did not come here broken or off track, that you came here an innocent child. An innocent child. You were innocent. Your slate was clean. Your thinking was clean. But there are extenuating circumstances, a term that law enforcement use, extenuating circumstances. So we need to address the extenuating circumstances which leads to someone needing to be corrected, a correction. First, introduce the person to them, to their true self, to your true self, not to what you may have become or influenced into criminal behavior. Introduce the human being to his true self. His true self is not sinful. He didn't come here a criminal, a liar, a cheater, whatever. You came here pure. But there are dynamics in the world that you entered into that can influence and shape you into aberrant behavior. We need to look at those processes in this society, the lack of education, the poor state of education, the lack of resources and sustenance that sustains a healthy family, a healthy community, and the ability to earn an honest living. So if we're going to correct, if it's called the Department of Corrections, then let's first start where it begins, before the human being was led astray. Introduce him to his or her true self, and let's deal with those dynamics that take us away from our true, original, honest, pure nature. None of us come here sinful. None of us come here up. You cannot look at a three-day-old young baby and call that a baby a criminal. But we enter into an environment an environment that has been shaped and formed that may lead that baby or that child into behavior that goes against the norms of society. So I strongly suggest that in our communication with those that are incarcerated, introduce him or her to their true self and then deal with a dynamics that takes the human being away from his true self. There is much in the social arena that shapes and forms human beings in a form that's not beneficial to the human being nor the society. Poverty. God says that Satan, he threatens the human being with poverty. With poverty. Why? Because poverty is a very cruel, effective weapon to manipulate the human being. So we need to address those type of issues. There are extenuating circumstances that led you here. Let me introduce you for the first time in your life to your true self. And let's walk that path of dynamics that affected you and shaped you and formed you that led you to this place we call the Department of Corrections. We should begin doing just that, correcting what went wrong, and not just punishment, the penal system, the penitentiary, make you penitent. Penitent means to regret or admit that you were wrong, and you are admitting that. Well, after that admission, what should come next?
Then what? Right.
Yeah, then what? So I suggest that these are human issues, that we address them as human issues and introduce all of us to what we are at the outset of life. No child comes here a liar. No child comes here a thief, a robber, a murderer. But there are dynamics in this society that have been influenced and shaped by the enemy to human beings to take us away from that initial purity, that honesty that we are born with. So if you're going to call it the Department of Corrections, let's begin the correction. But you cannot begin the correction until you begin where it all begins, your true, honest, pure self. I'll stop right there, my sister. There's much more we can say on.
Well, I certainly second that emotion. That's the first step, as you said, is to introduce the person to their true self. And if you have grown up your whole life being told you were born bad or destined to be bad or shaped in iniquity and all these kinds of denigrating things that do not give you a positive sense of self, then you don't have anything that you're living up to because you don't believe you're up. You believe you're low. A lot of things begin with the origins of what the human being is taught about themselves. And that's one of the first things that needs to be corrected, the belief about what you are. So you can't do that in an environment where you're constantly treating people like they're scum. And you can't do that in an environment where you are, in fact, heaping more abuse on them in terms of verbal and physical violence. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
In an environment that is so depressing, so damaging to the spirit that you can never uplift yourself. So what makes us think?
Look at how prisoners are housed.
Yes.
Place them in a small cell, an inhumane environment, and where there's concrete and steel, just concrete and steel, and they call the so-called guards, they call them corrections officers. Many of them are sadistic.
Oh, absolutely.
Many of them believe they believe that they are there to punish.
Yes.
So they need to stop being called corrections officers. These COs are something else. They are called COs in the penal institution. And I want to ask this: How much training have a CO been given to make a correction of those that he's placed over? He's called a corrections officer. How much education concerning the life of human beings has he had? But he's called a corrections officer. So let's get back to basics. Not just the penal system, the corrections. Matter of fact, as juveniles, they used to call those facilities reform school. But based upon the story that I've heard and those young children have shared with us, there's very little reforming done.
Right.
It's punishment. So these labels, let's be true to the title. Let's be true to the label. Reform means to what? Return it back to its original form.
Right.
To its original nature. To reform. So I truly applaud the legislation that you and others are putting forth. We should to speak to the lawmakers in the same manner that you're hearing me speak now. The idea is to save the human being.
Yes.
Not throw the human being away.
Absolutely.
Not just throw a life away.
Absolutely.
Being this useless and worthless. No. Be a human being.
That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to take your calls. We got area code 706-202. You're up next, and let me know, Brother Green, if you've got a caller on your line. We're glad to share the thoughts of our viewers and listeners. And Viola joined us on Facebook and YouTube and says, Grand Rising Queen, sounds like a much-needed change in the prison system. Thank us. Yes, us, the universal spirit. Yes, thank us. So We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts as we prepare to present the legislation that has been drafted here on The Female Solution, turning prisons into healing centers. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joined by our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family as we explore a piece of legislation that we drafted a couple years ago, back in 2019. We collectively drafted legislation addressing some of the very points that have been made this morning, the fact that we have to look at each other differently. Look at the people who commit crimes differently, not as targets of our pain through punishment, but as souls who need healing, people who need help, people who are in pain, people who need resources, guidance, assistance. If we want to truly make it a department of corrections, we have to correct the problem that often was created by this very society. And we have to correct what's inside of them, which means we have to have people working in those institutions that are correct themselves and their perspective, not people who are looking to exact vengeance, but people who understand how to heal the hurt. So we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 with your thoughts as we prepare to go through this legislation. But first, let's get some of your comments, and then we'll talk about the wording that was put together and the argument that needs to go with it as we present it to our new lobbyist friend that's going to assist us in this process of getting it presented to the floor of the Illinois State Legislature, and then later on we'll move on to Congress so it can be national law. But first we've got to understand our own minds and hearts towards those who've committed crime. So I believe we're back with our co-host, and let's go to our phone lines. 706-202, you are live on the Female Solution. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your thoughts today. Grand Rising, check your mute on your phone. We don't hear your voice yet.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, there you are. Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam.
And, you know, it's all in divine order. I sit here in the stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Sandersville, Georgia. And it's very specific because I'm down here. My cousin asked me to come down because she just started this new job. She's a mental health worker, like a social worker at the Washington Penitentiary here in Sandersville. Sandersville is also the birthplace of Elijah Poole, which is we know as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was born here. And so looking at this and listening to her experience and going into this institution of 1,500 men, and the majority of the COs are black females, and the abuse and the degrading being done to those men from those women. And then the other part of having to have now they're having mandated that they have to have mental health people on staff there in the prison because they have seen that the people that are being incarcerated have mental issues and they need mental help, not just, you know, for what they committed the crime. The thing that we're looking at is, and you spoke about, Brother Kareem, saying about the juvenile justice system and the institution of juvenile justice. It started right there in Chicago. That was the first place where juvenile justice was started from, and juvenile courts. And the first penitentiary was in Walnut Street in the city of Brotherly Love. The thing that we're looking at is Jawanza Kunjufu, also from Chicago, wrote in Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, and it has grown into the school-to-prison pipeline. But he talked about that there's the fourth grade. They can test the young boy at fourth grade and know that he's going to be institution because of the system in which they create to miseducate or to misguide. But we have to look at our communities because there in Chicago and many other major cities, they got what they call the $1 million zip codes. Inglewood is one of the $1 million zip codes. that they know that they have $1 million that they're making off of incarceration or what the new prison system is, EM. And the EM system is a new form of incarceration. That's electronic monitoring, where they put sentence to person and they have to stay in the home and do that. But what we're seeing is what the 13th Amendment, when they ended, you know, activity and said, neither slavery nor indentured servitude, except if you are duly convicted of a crime. We went through Jim Crow, we went through peonage, and we're looking at now modern day and economic slavery is because the person is not provided the necessary resources and the training that comes from being educated in a good way to be able to provide for themselves and not have to go and take from others. And then you have the institution of chemical that is using nature's plant relatives to make chemicals that alters the minds of people, or you put taxes on liquor and sell it in our communities, and you wind up arresting people for doing violent acts or driving while they're drunk. And you're selling things that alters people. So we have to look at the whole picture. This is by design for the mind of those ones that look like us. And what we're seeing is yeah, okay, you get a legislation, but we've got to start in the community and in those pulpits and in those classrooms, and especially the classroom. A six-year-old boy in first grade shot his teacher, took his mother's 9mm gun, and came to school and shot his teacher, having a disagreement. A six-year-old, a 10-year-old in Wisconsin was not, his mother said she wasn't going to get him this game, and he went in there and got her keys and unlocked where her gun was and came back out and shot her in the head. These are the things that we are seeing because we stopped grandmother's lap time. And we start giving our children's laptops. We stop being able to have the wisdom of elders in the community to sit down at Kitchen Table University and help guide our children. These are the things that we, it's yes, good to get legislation and to do this part, but we've got a mental issue, we've got an economic issue, and we have a real issue with even working with each other. So that's my opinion right there, and I thank y'all for the conversation this morning.
Well, we thank you most definitely, Brother Kwame, and I'm trying to figure out if I can fly you into Illinois to testify when we get ready to present this legislation, because all those things you said are things that go into the formation of this and other things that need to be corrected in our society, because we know that this is a society that led to the incarceration. All the misshapen things that are in the culture and the behavior and the experience of our children. And so it's not a matter of just punishing someone because they are now the result of a dysfunctional society. We got to fix the society because that's what's broken. And so this legislation gives us an opportunity to bring all of these things to light so we can look at it and see as a human family where we need to fix ourselves. Go right ahead, Kareem. I think you had a comment.
Yes. You know, there is a concerted effort to incarcerate African-American males. But I want this problem to be addressed from a human standpoint. Even the Caucasian, that now you're talking about needing psychiatric help. That is, I mean, they really need psychiatric evaluation. When you lie to someone about their history, you lie to them about who they truly are, and they can never live up to that. They you use any means necessary to try to live up to the false picture that they have been given. One of the most largest gangs in the penal institution, the most dangerous and largest gangs in the penal institution is, I would guess, the Aryan Brotherhood. The Aryan Brotherhood. They are white supremacists. White supremacists. They have been lied to. So I'm addressing this from a human standpoint. You know, Imam Muhammad was asked a question once. What is the biggest problem? And he gave a very short, simple answer. Ignorance. Ignorance. Now, most of us equate ignorance with acting foolish. Oh, you just acting ignorant. No. Ignorance means a lack of knowledge, not knowing. Not knowing. There's a concerted effort now to keep the true history of this country and how they treated citizens in this country. There is a concerted effort to keep the whitewashed narrative as history in this country. But the truth has to be told. Everybody has been brainwashed. Everybody has been brainwashed by this so-called history. I love the African American. He is uppermost in my thinking of the need of help. But when we address him, praise be to Allah, we will be addressing the total human condition. The total human condition. You would be surprised at the level of poverty among those that other Caucasians have called white trash. White trash. You would be surprised at how low their educational system is. Lack of medical of medical assistance, clean drinking water, you name it. And they have become bitter. You know, I was speaking with I think it was my sister, we wonder where is this anger coming from these Caucasians. Well, you know, Satan is very cunning. Whenever an issue of poverty is addressed, they put a black face on it. Whenever the issue of inadequate medical care, they put a black face on it. Whenever there is the issue of the poor state of our educational system, they put a black face on it. Well, that leaves the Caucasian to think in his mind, what about us? What about no one is addressing my condition? No one is addressing the social ills that is affecting me. And he builds up a resentment. We are the target of his resentment. But there are those over all of us that has manipulated that type of a condition, that type of circumstance, whereby one race feels neglected and left out. We know how that feels, but they only include us in those things that are negative. Address address black issues? What about addressing the issues of the citizens of this country? African American, Caucasian, Hispanic, whatever. So I'm aware of the subtlety of these people. I'm aware of how subtle they manipulate the human being in moving away from his or her best nature. Now I hope that I'm making myself clear that when these social ills are mentioned, they always put an African American face on it. Travel through parts of Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, the state that Missouri. You can find Caucasians living in abject poverty.
Oh, yeah.
Living in inhumane conditions. So as this legislation is presented, let's not color it.
Well, that's definitely a critical point, because as soon as you color it, then people will dismiss it. And we must definitely keep it on the human level, because human beings are affected by this, all human beings. And we was teaching classes in the Cook County Jail, teaching parenting classes. Whole lot of white women was up in there. You know, so that changed my thought even, because like you say, they always put a black face on it, and we assume that other people aren't going through things. And that was really an awakening for me, realizing that a lot of white women have been through the same kinds of things, same dysfunctional family issues, same economic issues, same social issues, same things that brought the black and Hispanic women there were the same issues that brought them there. And usually it was some type of harm that they had experienced that damaged them, that caused them to make bad choices. So those are the things we have to deal with. But, you know, the interesting thing, and, you know, Kwame talked about the 6-year-old and the 10-year-old. I'm not sure of the 10-year-old, but I know just by looking at the school and all the surroundings, that 6-year-old, I believe was Caucasian that shot the teacher, because all the other students in that area and the neighborhood that came from that was the Caucasian area. So I tend to think if that was a black child, they would have kind of made sure we knew that. But since they didn't show parents or anything, I'm pretty sure that was a Caucasian child that did that. So now we got to look at, what kind of a society are we producing where children bring guns to school and shoot the teachers? And it's not a black issue. It's a sick society issue. What are we doing that created that? And this is what we'll allow to be looked at when we present this legislation. Look at the sickness in the society that produced these people. That's what has to be fixed. So I definitely agree to that. And got another caller I'd like to bring in before we take a break. Area code 813-646, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
L.A., Central Florida.
Hey, L.A.
I'm speaking as a person who has been on the inside. There's already a lot of legislation on the books for healing. There's several people, and we can spend 2 or 3 hours just naming the people that have been in and came out and took advantage of what was on the inside of correction, or, you know, prisons or whatever you want to call them. Martha Stewart, Nelson Mandela, Anwar Sadat, Malcolm X, Freeway Rick Ross. He couldn't even read when he went in there. You can learn a trade inside. You can get a college degree inside. You can even go to law school today inside of a prison. So, and all that was legislated on. It's on the books. I think people need to look at prevention. In other words, one of the things I observed is, including myself, If you don't know the basic rules or law, you can get in trouble real easy. Also, people need to learn civics. How does government operate, including, how does legislation work? How does law work? How does law enforcement work? How does politics work in a particular area? Now, statistically, 60 to 75% of the people who are incarcerated, no matter what race, color, religion, 60 to 75% are illiterate, and that's the main problem right there. If you can't read or barely read, or even if you have a college degree, and you might be undereducated or miseducated, you can end up in trouble. So I think we need to concentrate on the front end prevention, and then when they get out, do they have the economic skills, or do they need to pick up some type of specific literacy to, housing literacy. Person getting locked up, they might not have any type of vocational skills. They might have to learn how to become a carpenter, bricklayer, HVAC person, or go to law school, or whatever they want to do. And I'll end my plane on this. He's dead now, but this one particular young man, Yummy, out of Chicago, you can look him up if you just put in Yummy.
I remember that.
Right.
Yeah,
well, if you catch people like him.
Tell our listeners who don't know about it.
Right, yeah. Well, he was.
Yeah, explain a bit for those who don't know the story.
Well, Yummy was he passed away at 11. He was killed. He joined a gang. I don't know what age he joined the gang. I don't know if he was 10 years old or whatever, but he was 11 years old when he was killed. But Yummy had joined the gang. He had gotten into some crime. First thing, it's crazy for an 11-year-old to even be in a gang. Let's just start there. Okay, so we can probably link the parenting to that. And then when he got in the gang, for a sense of belonging or whatever, I don't know because I never knew him. But two of his other gang members, who were teenage boys, a little bit older than Yummy, they killed him. So I don't know what's going in your legislation. I mean, some legislation is better than no legislation. I just think there's a lot on the books already, but if we can catch people on the front end, and then when they get released on the reentry end, how they can get reintegrated into society, because if you're in, like I said, more than likely, even if you got a degree, because there are people with college degrees in prison. The thing is, okay, what didn't you know that got you into trouble? Some people, they knew what they were doing. Other people, they just didn't know they didn't know and violated some kind of law, and they got locked up. So I'll land my plane there.
Well, but before we take a break, L.A., I just have a question. I'd like to know, you said you've been on the inside. What was your story in terms of how you ended up where you ended up?
I got two stories for that.
Lack of knowledge.
I had organized an investment group, and we purchased an offshore banking license. And we had a private bank in a little country which was outside of the United States. So long story short on that, when you get into, first thing, banking is very, very, it's heavily regulated. So if you get into any type of business like that, you need to have a team of people that I would call, all they do is compliance. What rules and regulations, and you need to check this thing like every 90 days something comes up. So you need to know something about compliance. You need to know something about enforcement. It's a serious, heavy undertaking with that. So I would say that was a lesson I learned from that. And then the other thing was, which we gave birth to It's My House, was essentially, I didn't know the rules. They were simple rules, but I didn't know the rules. So, and I, after listening to this product, now I was out by the time for the female solution. But from this broadcast, I learned of Warren Houston, and then I talked to him, and then I enrolled in law school online. I did it online. And what I learned was the first week, the very first week, what I learned was the reason, now this is, I'm going through my filtered glasses of reality here. In my opinion, the reason why a lot of black men, but this could be anybody, black, white, or whatever, get in trouble with the law, they don't know the basic rules. What is a misdemeanor? What is a felony? What is a tort? What is the 7 basic types of torts? Are real basic stuff that's available. That information is available at every public library, no matter what. You have libraries in the ghetto, in the hood.
Mm.
The law section in each and every one of those libraries. But most people don't know it. So, so I became more aware of, okay, what are the rules? And then you had to realize literacy just doesn't mean the ability to read and write. But many people are what I could call law illiterate. You don't have to go to law school or anything like that. I mean, just the whole fact that you're having this discussion about legislation, that's making people literate. That, oh, wait a minute. You mean we can put laws on the books? We can participate in crafting this?
Yeah.
So this podcast in itself is part of that literacy. But a lot of people who get locked up don't even know they have that choice.
That's true. So yours was an error in judgment and not an intention to break the law, basically.
Well, I didn't know the rules. I didn't know the rules.
And that says something, the fact that you're thinking that we should lock people up for making an error as opposed to an intention to hurt someone. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the wording on the legislation and take the next caller.
We have a caller here.
Okay, well, we'll take your caller first when we come back.
And LA has shared something that is very important. There is a rule that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Mm. So you must educate yourself. Very important. Educate yourself thoroughly.
That's true. And then, of course, we have to have the right intentions in our so-called justice system, because if we had the right intentions, we would be teaching law and civics in our schools so that we would know, as opposed to punishing people for not knowing and trying to do something based on the limited knowledge that they have. But we'll talk further about that when we come back and talk about the wording on this legislation, which we believe will address many of the things that have not been addressed by those laws that have been previously passed, and even the ones that have been passed that have never been enforced that we need to deal with. And I agree. I definitely agree with LA. We need to deal with prevention. And sometimes that means understanding what it is we're preventing so that we understand why we got to this point. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we invite you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Atlanta. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. If you'd like to join us visually, just go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution. You'll see my smiling face. Or you can go to YouTube, again, type in the Female Solution, and here we are talking about legislation to transform prisons into healing centers. We had an opportunity to meet a lobbyist during our journey to the inauguration ceremonies of the Illinois Governor, J.B. Pritzker, and the Lieutenant Governor, Juliana Stratton. And you can hear that. You, of course, can see that on the On Air News Network. Go to www.onaireverywhere.com for the latest news and, of course, our daily news broadcast. at 1 p.m. Central. And you can go right here on Blog Talk at www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews. So we recorded on the inauguration ceremonies on Monday, but more importantly, we had an opportunity to meet a lobbyist who is regularly working with the elected officials in presenting legislation, and he's basically awaiting our document, which we'll be sending this week, and talking about the strategy for getting this legislation passed. Now, of course, LA did mention that there's been a lot of prison reform legislation introduced, some passed and not acted upon. But I think what we're talking about here is a different attitude, a new understanding, a new intention behind the prison system itself. If all we're doing is hurting people who have hurt people, we have not healed the problem. And as many have pointed out, the society created this problem that produces the prisoners. So we have to fix that. We have to prevent that. But we first have to acknowledge that the people who are in there are in pain. And the solution is not to give them more pain, to send them back out into society so they can continue to give pain to others. If that were working, we wouldn't have the prisons constantly filling up the way they are. So rather than doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity, let's do what works. Heal the human soul. Heal the mind, body, and spirit of those who have made errors in judgment and are now behind bars. And let's consider, why are we caging people and expecting them to act other than like animals? So we're back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we've got a caller on your line. And
yes.
Let's take our caller.
Okay, this might be Minister Plump. Error code 312671. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
We are in Yashalom. This is Minister Plump, Brother Kareem. And assalamu alaikum to you and the whole world. Happy healing, Kwanzaa 23. That's me.
Hallelujah. Happy healing. I like
yes,
that.
Yes. Well, this, you know, each one of them, name, happy equals to 23, healing equals to 23, Kwanzaa equals to 23, and the female solution. Ain't nothing but 23, the world's greatest blog radio station and radio and TV station in the world. I just want to share a little bit of, we're doing 365 days of Kwanzaa. Today is Wednesday, which is self-determination, which is the green is represents the land. And the air is that we are living in 2023, and that's the year for you and me. And I want to share, Brother Kareem, I got a program that's for us. Black is beautiful, too. Black is strong, and we must save our children so they don't go down the road, you know, robbing, stealing, and killing, and looting, and hijacking, and all of that wrong stuff. See, that's satanic stuff. But the program is RP23. Nova, NovaTechTechFK.com. And that's my website, my new website. And then I want to share with you Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Earth Day birthday is January the 15th. However, we are giving community support to Brown's Chapel, to Edmund Pettus Bridge celebration, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. with Reverend Michael Bourne Sr. Now, his number is 334-505-1723. Then brothers and sisters celebrating and honoring Dr. King. Yes, sir.
Yes. I remember there was a movement to change the name of that bridge. How has that gone?
To name it after John Lewis. Yeah,
okay.
To name it after John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, we work with SNCC. That's how I started with SNCC in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee with John Lewis
yes,
as president, and also Kwame Tui, Stokely Carmichael, which was part of the original authentic Black Power movement. And I wanted to share the thought that brothers and sisters can get in touch with me with the Harold Washington Foundation .info, or they can Zelle the Harold Washington Foundation to help us to get myself and other elders to Selma, Alabama for this Monday. So we are going to be campaigning from tomorrow, which would be Thursday, to Monday, the 12th to the 16th. And the actual event is going to be on 16th at Brown Chapel. That's where they're going to start, to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. We still using the original name and authentic, but we also recognize John Lewis because he was on the bridge, Edmund's Pettus Bridge, you know. So
yeah.
Thank you for
listening. They are trying
to
get it named after him. And I'm not sure who entered this legislation or where that's at, but yeah, they're trying to get it named after him, which I think is very significant because he went from being a protester, being beaten by police on the bridge, to getting elected to Congress, and now maybe having that very same bridge named after him. So that's a very powerful statement. And we're hoping that, that you all are able to come and, you know, go and represent Chicago. I know we went several years ago and did a story about it in the Windy City Word, where I was managing editor and had a crew that went down there, did videotaping. And I believe Maika, one of our hosts, was also down there. And, you know, we had a chance to interview some of the people who were there at that time. So this is definitely a time for us to reflect. And if we think about people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who went to prison, and a lot of people in that era, like you pointed out, Minister Plump, went to prison, one of the things that he did was to take the sting out of jail, because jail had been used, as I believe Kwame pointed out, has been used as construct more than actually something correcting wrongs. So there's that
You're
aspect
right.
of the prison that we have to deal with. And Dr. King more or less removes the stigma of going to jail as a source of shame, because a lot of times if someone was sent to jail, you know, families didn't talk about them anymore. You know, they were not welcome around the family, brought shame to the family. And a lot of times people were innocent that were accused of crime, or jail was just used to keep us in line and threaten us for getting out of line if we did something socially incorrect according to the social rules of the time, especially in the South. So, you know,
yes,
we look, when we look at, and Minister Plump, you know, when we look at the symbolicness of that bridge and those who crossed it, what they were trying to break, they were trying to break the racist structure that often used the criminal justice system as a means of enforcing and maintaining racism. But you can't have people
right.
who are enjoying being cruel to people and then putting them in charge as prison guards. And I think it was pointed out earlier that some of the sadistic behavior has nothing to do with helping people or even helping people to reform themselves. These are people who were acting out of their hate that was already there. So when we talk about reforming the society, preventing, we got to heal everybody on both sides, both the people who are in there and the people who have been set up to be guards over them, who become very sadistic and hateful. And what kind of human being are you becoming? And you're being
Hallelujah.
Cruel to people all day. That's what you're going to take home to your house. That meanness, that cruelty,
right.
that sadisticness. So everybody
needs
healing.
absolutely. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You know, this is also our time now. Amen. We are in it to win in 2023. This is the year for everyone to be self-determined, you know, to be
absolutely
a part of the struggle, the movement, and the coalition. So I'm glad that I started back in the day with Emmett Till. I went to the funeral, okay, and ever since I've been hooked. So it is truly a way of life that we can share more and celebrate, you know, success breeds success. So keep in touch with me. I will give you all an update report as soon as we get back, and pray for us, okay? And then I'm going to make sure that Reverend Michael Bourne Sr. Try to call in too, either today or tomorrow. God bless you.
Definitely. Keep us posted. Thank you so much, Minister Plum. We appreciate you. Yes.
You're welcome.
And I believe we've got
thank
a caller
you
on our line. Thank you so much. And let's take another caller on our line. 773-737 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts on this legislation to transform prisons into healing centers.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. Way Owen Yah Shalom. This is Mama D.
Hey,
Grand
Rising. Hey, Mama D. Hallelujah greetings.
All right, Mama D.
You
glad
know,
to hear from you.
Thank you. 11-year-old Yummy was America's youngest murder suspect. 15-year-old girl that he allegedly murdered was the best friend of my grandniece since kindergarten. And
wow.
They were looking forward to going to high school because they had just graduated from the eighth grade. So my niece went inside to use the bathroom, and when she came out, her best friend lay dying on the ground. So
wow.
Considering that, I want to address literacy. When Spencer Leak was the warden of the Cook County Jail under Harold Washington, he did a study to determine the future needs of prisons, and it revealed that the victimizers would be younger and the crimes would be more serious, like the 6-year-old that shot his teacher or the 10-year-old that killed his mother. So he's right on the mark with that. But he also said something important. He said, if you were not reading at grade level by the third grade, you were headed for jail. So instead of mandating how to read or how to know your ABCs, JB is mandating teaching 5-year-olds sex education. So they learn about oral and anal sex and masturbation and all this kind of stuff. So my question is, it is written, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. So what part of the legislation will address literacy? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It is, you can't rationalize or think or do anything without getting into literacy. Be still and know. Do our children know right from wrong? And do they need Sunday school and on the front end? And, well, I know that as an educator because we educate the subconscious brains of children under the age of 4 through the 9 senses, because that is the brain that's going to be there for life, the subconscious brain. So we are getting, I think that we are getting started way too late. But even the word says the little child. We focus on the teenage child and older people. But if you don't bend that sap while it is young, when you try to bend it later on, doesn't it snap and break? So I want to know what
absolutely
part of citizenry is in that legislation that you're drafting.
Yes. Well, I definitely agree with all that you've said in terms of we have to start a whole lot younger when we have 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds shooting people and committing murders. And, well, you know, L.A. alluded to the fact that it's the society that needs correction so that we are preventing the crime. And literacy, knowledge, understanding is a great part of that and certainly a great part of this legislation. Now, we know we've got literacy programs in the prisons now, allegedly. We have... As a matter of fact, I came into, when I was doing the parenting class, I came in as part of the literacy program. But then, you know, the people who had lost their children because they were behind bars didn't have a literacy program that taught them the law, as L.A. was talking about. So they didn't know the legal procedure that would even help them get their children back once they got out of jail. But the point that you've made about what we're focusing on and what children really need in terms of a wholesome, healthy education, again, that is a reflection of what we have introduced to them as a society. What are they experiencing in their households? Are they experiencing love, kindness, compassion? Or are they experiencing abuse? Because you're gonna take out of your house what you have experienced as a child, and that becomes what you give to the world. And that's really where it starts. And you know, we've got a parenting class coming up that addressing that. But then we also have people that are right now in the penal institutions, deeply wounded, and we have to do more than just keep giving them pain and sending them back out with the same ignorance. So definitely the literacy part is major because, as someone gave the statistics, most of the people in there are illiterate. They don't have the education. But then it's not just teaching, it's what is going into your mind. And that's also part of it. We'll go over the details in a moment, but I believe, Kareem, you had a comment or a person on the line.
Well, I have a comment. Mama D is pointing at before they become teenagers, what can be done. In the Christian scripture is written, my people are destroyed by song and dance. By song and dance. And I have seen a video of a parent encouraging a 3-year-old to twerk I remember when I was a teenager, they had this dance called the dog. People would get in the position that canines do for intercourse. Now they have introduced twerking. And there's always some dance introduced that's the most popular dance. They have a new one out now. I can't remember the name of it. But they keep us and our children caught up in foolishness and how you can gyrate your body, you know? But I must say that pressure has been put on the Grammy Association. Citizens of this country have put pressure on that institution, the Grammys. And because of that pressure, they have now added another department for winning a Grammy. And that is that artist
that produces a song or an art form that is positive and uplifts the society at large. So we are trying to get in front of this thing.
Good.
We ask, how can a six-year-old take a gun and shoot his teacher? Well, just look at what is shown across media, mass media. So much violence and gunplay. And in order to solve any problem, you get a gun and you kill that problem. We have been shaped and formed by what has been introduced to our thinking, to our psyche. And in time, what is introduced to your mind, it comes out in the form of behavior. So we want to get in front of this thing, and if we can influence media to give a more positive message, a more positive influence, like the Grammys, they succumb to that citizen pressure, and they have added another department for award. That artist that can produce song or whatever that is a positive for the society.
That's good news. That's very encouraging to know. And it also lets us know that our voices do matter. When we say these things, that we're tired of the denigration, our voices do matter. Because people are going to give you people are going to sell you whatever you buy. So if we say we don't want the filth, we don't want the over-sexualization of our children in a way it leads to abuse and exploitation. We say we don't want that, and we want to applaud and award and recognize those who are reversing that trend. That is a very good step, and we need to do that in every area of society, is to highlight those who are producing things that are uplifting and repairing of the society. That encourages us.
You know, when they show a drug dealer, they show him in all of his jewelry, the fine cars, women all around him and all of that. No, they should show him in prison clothes, in prison guard.
Rather than glorify.
And highlight, right, and highlight the good person.
Absolutely.
A person that has entered education and making progress at that.
Well, that's the challenge for our filmmakers.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, right. We're responsible for telling the story we want told. And Mama Joy, who is our second Saturday host, says, right on, Sister Naima. Basic literacy of law for the citizens should be in place. Civics and basic government education to teach our children how to create laws and policies to participate in a government for the people and by the people. Absolutely. Thank you, Mama Joy. And she also says, to all the things said, amen, amen. Address the pain. And she says, yes, and Maika has made that her annual tradition to addressing those issues. And she said, where are our churches in this movement? All hands should be on deck. Yes. And that is a major part of it. Thank you, Mama Joy. Yes. Maika has, of course, she has been keeping us on track with the Selma movement and acknowledging those who participated in that march to highlight the history of what we've done and what we've faced in order to get us to this point of empowerment. That's the thing. We are now empowered to make the changes. We are empowered to make the laws. We are the lawmakers now. The very man who was bashed upside the head on the bridge, they want to name the bridge after him. He was in Congress all those years. So we are now in positions of lawmakers. Going to the state legislature, Monday and seeing the people sworn in. We have a black female lieutenant governor, a black attorney general, you know, so we can't put race above everything as if, oh, well, everybody else is empowered and we're the poor victims. We're not victims anymore. We are the legislators that have the power to make the laws. We are the people who have the power to shape the institutions. We're the ones who are going to make the change. We have the power in our hands now. So let's use it. And I think we got to go to one more break before we wrap up and give a bit of insight on the wording on this legislation, all those things that have been brought up that will be addressed. Now, do you have any other callers on your line? You want to make sure we give everybody a chance to speak?
I see no one else. I think Minister Plump's hand was still raised.
No, I got a couple of people who've raised. I got a couple of hands up here. So we'll go to 334-505, then 773-960, then 773-450. I don't think you've spoken, and 773-885. We'll get to all y'all. Give everybody a chance to make their comments before we wrap up.
Just hold on.
We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Unmuted.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif. We've been talking about legislation to transform prisons into healing centers. And I'm going to get these comments in. So now just remember, you've got about five people who want to speak. So if you can keep your comments to a minute, that'll help us get everybody in. Let's go first to 334-505. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience.
I'll call her here on the American Muslim 360 Studio Board.
Okay, we'll go to your caller next after this one, and then we'll take 7396, so after we go to the American Muslim 360. So 334-505, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
The Reverend Michael Bowen out here in Selma, Alabama, the civil rights capital of the world. And I'm here with One Nation, One Dream, Safe Haven Center presents the 23rd anniversary of Stop the Violence Rally, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, March and Caravan, Monday, January the 16th, 2023, from Brown Chapel to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Celebration from 12 to 2 p.m. For more information, Reverend Michael Bowen, 334-505-1723. We need your assistance. What it is, we are targeting several young people, whether it be high school bands and what have you, and we need to put them up in accommodations. We need several things to be put in place. It's amazing, but, you know, every year actually the same thing. And we need your support. And you could support this event by cash amping us. Anything that you can't afford is $ Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, Senior, S-R. And that is, if you would like to be try to help us to support this event, this is the 23rd anniversary, Stop the Violence Rally. And here in Selma, if we're not leading, we're number one or two in the murder capital of the world, gun violence, especially with our young people. In the last 10 years, we've lost 200 people, young men. That's primarily black men to gun violence, and that's the message we try to stamp out. We're trying to stamp out the killing of our young people amongst our young people. So please, if you can, we have this event every year. When we're not doing that, we do a conflict resolution class in the prisons here, in the jails and the prison. I was listening to the show. I've been on the line for the last 4 to 5 minutes, and I want to give these numbers very, very quickly. Since 1989, when DNA was first used in the United States to prove a person's innocence, more than 2,650 inmates nationwide have been exonerated. Now, I took this off the press about 6 years ago. Altogether, that's 24,150 years lost on wrongful convictions, and these are just cases that the system has been forced to acknowledge. Amen. And so we know that 26% of the population here in Selma, Alabama, in Alabama, and 72% of the incarceration of our people in prisons in Alabama. So what we're doing about it, we're doing everything that we can. We are going into the prisons. We're doing conflict resolution classes, not only spiritual class, but conflict resolution classes that we found to be the most effective in the system here. Once again, this is Reverend Michael Bowen, and I'm here with the Safe Haven Center Stop the Violence Rally. We do this every year. This is the 23rd year that we've been doing this. We attract mostly young people and people from around the community, around these other counties in Alabama. Not only from Alabama, we have people. It's amazing. We have people came all the way from the West Coast. But this year, we need your support. We need to house some of these people. We need to transportation for some of these people. So if you can, you can cash app us, $ Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, Senior. I'm still here. I'm caught up with the young man that called and talked about the prison earlier, because I've been doing this work. I started Sing Sing Correctional Facility in New York City. I lived in New York for 35 years. I worked for the city Department of Investigations for 21 years, and I was a part of Sing Sing, going in there doing a GED class back in the late 80s into the 90s. And so I'm very educated with the prison system.
Reverend Bowen,
That's spelled B-O-W-E-N. That's spelled B-O-W-E-N. Bowen.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
And to Cash App, use those for those senior and so that dollar sign Michael Bowen Senior with a period on the end.
Yes, ma'am.
SR period. Okay. All right. So I have put it up on our screen here on our Facebook and YouTube page. So
yes, ma'am.
So to Cash App you, it would be dollar sign Michael Bowen Senior, and that is for those young people that you wish to assist.
Yes, ma'am.
And getting there to the event, which I'm sure would be a life-changing experience for them. And we encourage people to be supportive. We'll send what we can from the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We thank you for the work you're doing, and we will be keeping in touch with you as we work on passing this legislation, because part of it is includes having people like yourself who are in the system working on things like conflict resolution as being part of that process. So thank you so much, Reverend Michael Bowen, and we'll definitely be keeping in touch with you and looking forward to perhaps some reports from that day on Monday, which is going to be certainly a historic event for the nation. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much. And we will be posting some flyers and some pictures on our website, on our page. Okay. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing, too, because I say to them all the time, it takes a nation of people in coming into agreement. A bottom line to it, it takes a village, you know. So God bless. Thank you for your support.
And thank you so much. Yes.
God bless you.
Got folks out there working. Okay, Brother Graham, you got the caller on your line? Go right ahead.
Yeah, Erico, 314-540. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Unmute your mic.
Princess Karima Aziz from the host of Keeping It Real.
Hey, my sister. Thank you so much for having me on today.
And I'm really pleased at the show, the information that is being shared with the listeners. And I wanted to have a response to a question that asked earlier about regarding the parenting. And what sparked in my mind, first I'm thinking, where we are right now, this is a systematic, it's systematic that it's no accident that we're here right now having to talk about the issues that we're talking about in society. And the overall thought that I'm having is when our mothers are removed from the home, children are lacking guidance. They lack the guidance, the basic fundamental guidance and nurturing, and the thing that is needed for them to even process what the brother just spoke of is conflict resolution or whatever. But where we are today is 90%. Of the homes, I don't want to say 90, we'll say about 80%. 80% of our homes are not being parented simply because, not simply, but because the father is away earning, and the mother is away earning. The child is left unparented, and we really don't have, in outward society, the significance on the mother's role is diminished. The significance on the parent's role is diminished. And our children are simply are exposed to elements that would guide them because they're sponges and they're looking for places. They're looking for guidance. And I'll say this real quick and I'll be done. But in the education system, I you guys mentioned about the children seeking guidance amongst gang members. And in some places, a lot of places, it's not a choice. It's a force because of the place, just the element that they're in. It's a force. So without the parents advocating for the child or speaking for the child, speaking up for the child, or giving the child guidance is something else to do. I've heard gang members say out of their mouth, if the child is not, if the student is not affiliated in any other way, they're going to be forced to take affiliation. So if they're not in sports, if they're not doing something else with their lives, they're going to be forced to take membership of a gang. I've heard that in the community that I live in right now. I've heard that in other communities that I taught in, that if they don't have affiliation with something productive, they're going to be forced to take affiliation with the gang.
Well, that's what happens. Absolutely. You are right, because the gang serves as a family. And when your family is absent, that becomes your family. And if you don't have anybody, you're right, you are subject to get attacked. So you need protection. That's what has been the outgrowth of our broken families or our unformed families. You're absolutely right. So you can't blame the person for what happened.
Right. And right now they're using the children that are under 17 to commit all kinds of crimes.
Right, because they won't be tried as an adult. Right. So all of this is part of what's making up that prison industry, all of the malfunctions of a society. People are there as a result of what's happening on the outside. So punishing them for their response to what happened to them is incorrect. We have to, of course, fix the problems that cause them to be there, but then we also have to help them so that they are strengthened and they don't end up in that same situation once they get back out. So thank you so much for your contributions and listening to her. Give us again the days and times when you're on with the parenting class.
We are now airing on Tuesday. We air on Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we used to air on Thursdays. We're now airing on Tuesdays. And we still focus on parenting. We're now teaching on healing from generational trauma. We're recognizing that a lot of the issues that we're having right now is that we are not unpacking the generational trauma. And so we're focusing on the individual healing, the individual parent, because there are two parents that make up, there are two parents that procreate a child. And so we're focusing on healing the individual parent so we can be better parents to ourselves, parents to the children, and leaders in the community.
That's what it takes. Well, we thank you so much, and we'll be listening. Let me see if I can squeeze in a couple more before we go. I don't think we've gone to 773-885. You're live on The Female Solution. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Okay. Oh. Oh, hi. Am I there?
Yes, you're here.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I was listening to Sister Aziza. Yeah, yeah. I first heard her.
Oh,
on
okay. This is Mama Joy.
Yes, Mama Joy from Chicago. You know, this is a really hot topic, and I really wish us to do it again because the prison community, it houses so many thousands, tens of thousands throughout the nation, and they all are pretty much the same way. Considering them as healing centers, you know, there's a horrific mental situation going on in this country. And I was at a class yesterday, another workshop, I should say, and even over 50% of the pastors in the church have been described as medically depressed. So we have the church lights going out. And spiritually, you know, we have not been addressing this issue, addressing mental health, addressing suicide. You know, all of this is a part of a bigger plan. And it all stems from devaluing the woman's presence, and her godship. And I tell you, it's a tremendous job, but I really feel that we're going to overcome. I really feel that we're going to champion this situation as we learn how to gather as men and women and other cultural groups come together as one family, understanding that I hear the talk, oh, a village raised a child. Please, that's getting cliche, because if we understood the structure of a village, well, most of us don't understand the structure of a village, let alone how to build a community. So we need to get together to say, what does that mean? So that we could have some idea of an image of what it is that we have to do together, because we all offer a part of the healing solution that's necessary. No one can be eliminated, and certainly not even in a religion, just one spirit of love. And for unity of the whole is what is important. Thank you. I'm done. Oh,
right.
This Saturday, we're going to be on from 12 to 2 Central Standard Time. Joy to the world. And we're going to be discussing something similar into it, and that is the healing of the inner child. Conversations. So many people in the church have been damaged as a child. And within ourselves, we have never resolved those issues. And one of the reasons why we have not
healing
been able
inner
to be
child.
Successful and sustaining is because the child within us is still hurting.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It's going to be a powerful show. We'll tune on in, The Female Solution, this second Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, and, of course, wherever you are in the world, but just your time so you can join us live and listen to Mama Joy bringing joy to the world. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And
you,
I don't know
you.
If we've got time to bring in another caller. Karina, I know you got to go on time. And I think we got, 773-450. I'll give you about 30 seconds to share your thoughts real quick. Go right ahead.
Yeah, greetings. As-salamu alaykum to all the brothers and the sisters. And it's very simple. It's very simple. The true riches are wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That should be the ruler in everything. When you see a young man at 6 years old, a boy, going to a classroom and shoot a teacher at 6 years old, the question is, he's been living 72 months. How many acts of violence has he seen on television or on the internet?
Ooh, there we go.
Okay. He can just walk in the classroom with his mama's gun and just fire at a teacher. They better be careful now. And then the last part of it is this. How the hell do these people celebrate a so-called change year by shooting at people? When do we make personal change and separate ourselves from among that foolishness? I'd rather be on the vertical consciousness. True riches are wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Violence as entertainment and verbal violence in music has got to go. Turn it off. Don't watch it. The latest movie they got out is violent. Don't watch that foolishness. Any of these movies that don't represent anything positive, they're going to glorify violence. Cut it off. And go find you something better to do. There's some animals, there's birds, nature outside. Go outside, leave TV and internet out of it. See what you can glean from the universal laws. I appreciate you all. Keep doing what you do.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Obadiah. We appreciate those words of wisdom. And thank you, Brother Green, and the 360 family.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba.
Germany, danke. Poland, John Cujon. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jaret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.